Maria, bright thee, oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, all life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Glory to God. Please be seated. What a blessing it is tonight, folks, to know that we need Him. Yes. Amen? The world out there tonight does not understand that they need Jesus Christ. But they do. They need Him. You know that. You understand that. And that, I tell you folks, tonight, my heart is stirred. Because I believe the greatest privilege for any human being in the world today is to know that truth. I need Jesus every day. Every hour. Every minute. Every second. Oh, glory to God. What a blessed Savior. Love those words. In joy or in pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I think of my past life, I call it BC, before Christ. And before I met the Lord, you know, and how vain and empty life was. Just, you know, it wasn't, and we would look for cheap thrills and this and that and the other to try to fill that longing inside. And until I met Jesus, I was empty. And unfulfilled. And then, when He came into my life, everything changed. Amen? I mean, when you meet Jesus, all things are become new, Paul said. Oh, glory to God. Old things pass away. Am I glad of that? There's nothing like knowing Jesus. Oh, how privileged we are tonight, saints. Glory to God. All right, let's grab our Bibles, and we'll get right to our... message on prophecy tonight, continuing our series, of course. And we're working on stage two, the second stage, as you know, of the second advent. The first stage was what, somebody? The first stage was the gathering of the what? Armies of who? I might as well just tell you at this point. Antichrist, all right. Where? Megiddo, that's correct. Okay. First stage, gathering of the armies of the world under Antichrist power at Megiddo. Megiddon. Second stage is the destruction of where?
Megiddo.
No. Not yet.
Armageddon.
Babylon. Babylon. The destruction of Babylon. Now, there's so much material in the Bible concerning this topic that I, as you know, I was not able to cover it all last Sunday night. Therefore, tonight, we have the destruction of Babylon, part two. Part two. And that is simply because it is an exhaustive, there's so much prophecy concerning it. It's just amazing. Praise the Lord. Let me just grab my notes here and we'll get going. Glory to God.
So this is continuing on with...
Yes, this is actually a continuance of last Sunday night where we saw the first stage of the destruction of Babylon. Here we go. Pastor's got too many notes. All right. Praise the Lord. Eight stages of the second advent. Eight stages of the second advent. And tonight we're on stage two. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. Do not stand, because we're going to review a little bit before we pick up where we left off last Sunday night. Amen? Now, realize that the destruction of Babylon is spoken of throughout the Word of God. We see in the Old Testament a fellow by a personage by the name of the Assyrian, king of Assyria, the Assyrian, always pointing to Antichrist. And don't you know, he's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 13. And spoken of the destruction of the Assyrian, who is coming against Jerusalem to destroy all of the Jews. Now, what happened was a historical event took place where Sennacherib came down from Assyria. King of Assyria sent his general Sennacherib with all of the armies of Syria, Assyria, to surround Jerusalem. Hezekiah was king at the time, okay? We're not going to look at this because it's actually, you can find it three times in the Bible, about 60 verses worth, three times. When God says something three times, you better pay attention. And of course, we know the Assyrian represents the Antichrist, and we see in that historical graphic portrayal of the Assyrian surrounding Jerusalem with all of his armies. You know what happened? When they said, we're going to come in, we're going to destroy every living Jew. The Lord came to Isaiah the prophet and said, you tell my king, my servant Hezekiah, that I will defend this city for mine own name's sake. He said, the king of Assyria shall not lay foot or siege or sword in this land, for it is my city. And that very night, an angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 footmen. And the Bible says they awoke in the morning, and behold, they were all dead corpses. That's because it was a graphic, prophetical portrayal of the second coming, where the Antichrist will indeed surround Jerusalem with all of his armies, and he's not coming to hold a tea party. He will be destroyed with all of his host, according to the word of God. He will control all world government, universal. He'll have rule. All kings, that's presidents and leaders of nations, will bow to him and receive his mark and send their armies to join up with him. In Zechariah chapter 5, you remember, we saw the one world economy that he will control, the ephah. The ephah is an Old Testament measuring weight. And it said their resemblance is the same in all the earth, filled with lead. It's a false measure. This is wickedness. That is a picture of the mark of the beast and the one world economy. And if you don't have his mark and worship the beast, you don't eat. Period. Then we saw over in Isaiah chapters 13 and 14, we saw that all of the armies of Antichrist are to be destroyed. We saw particularly in chapter 13 of Isaiah that Babylon was doomed to destruction. And what happened? First stage, we had the gathering of all the armies of Antichrist into Megiddo, like Val said. So they're all in Megiddo, which is 200 miles from Babylon. Meanwhile, the Lord raises up an army of tribulation saints combined with his holy angels. They march upon Babylon and annihilate everything in sight. Now, look with me in Jeremiah, quickly by way of review. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 51. And I want to show you something that the Lord showed me this week. It's a very interesting verse. Get Isaiah chapter 51 in one hand and get 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in your other hand.
Jeremiah
51, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to connect the dots for you here concerning what's happening in Jeremiah chapter 51, prophesying the destruction of Babylon. Okay, second stage of the campaign of Armageddon. Babylon will suffer a sudden, irrevocable devastation, a destruction so great that she'll never recover. There'll be no human beings throughout the entire 1,000-year millennium living in Babylon. Okay? I don't know if there's going to be nuclear radiation fallout. I don't know. But I know that no human being is going to live in there. Now, notice the finality of her destruction. And look with me here in Jeremiah chapter number 51. I want you to see the reason why Babylon is destroyed. Look with me at verse 7. Jeremiah 51, verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. Notice all the earth is in a spiritual intoxication. Okay? They've been deceived by a deceiver who has satanic power to deceive their minds. He's made them drunk with his poisonous doctrine. The nations have drunken of her wine. And Babylon's, that's the world headquarters of Antichrist. Therefore the nations are mad. They're insane, is what that means. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be she may be healed. She won't. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go every one to his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. Now, here's what I want you to see here. The Lord is destroying Babylon. Why? Because of verse 7. He deceived the whole world. Okay? And then he says further on here, look at verse number 11. Don't miss this. Verse 11. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord. The vengeance of his what?
Temple.
Now we know from studying these prophecies that we are smack dab in the middle of the tribulation period here, where Babylon is about to be destroyed, right? Now, notice in verse number 11, The prophet says by the Holy Spirit that this destruction of Babylon is the vengeance of the Lord's temple. The Lord is taking vengeance on somebody because of something happened to his temple. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians. Hold your place in Jeremiah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Don't miss this. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day... That's the second coming. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, an apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who's that? Antichrist, right? The man of sin is the devil in a human body. He's imitating the incarnation. Watch what he does. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, capital G, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's called the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen? And he says, because of that abomination, where that Antichrist, that man of sin, that wicked one, walks into the temple at Jerusalem, sits upon the throne in the Holy of Holies, and declares himself to be God. Back to Jeremiah 51, verse 11. Therefore, it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. You see it? The connection is clear. He is taking vengeance because of the defilement that the Antichrist made upon his holy temple at Jerusalem. That tells me a few things. First of all, that tells me that the temple has to be rebuilt. There is no temple on the Temple Mount. The Dome of the Rock, Al-Aqsa Mosque, is up there right now. That thing's going to be destroyed, let me tell you, quickly, because the temple has to be rebuilt. Do you know that they're breeding red heifers in Israel? They're breeding red heifers in Israel. It's necessary for the offerings, the red heifer. They haven't bred them in 3,000 years. Okay? Scientists discovered a way that they're breeding them. They're isolating the genes and they got red heifers for the first time in millenniums. They're getting ready. They have the priestly garb, the robes and the mitre, the breastplate, the royal crown, holiness to the Lord. They've got it all ready to go. They're training Levites right now as we speak. They've got all of the... I've got documentation for this at home, for all everything I'm telling you. They've got all of the building materials to put that temple up. They said they can do it in 24 months. Build that temple from the ground up. Completion. You know what that means? This point here, what we just read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that is mid-trip. If you know your Bible, that is exactly the 42-month mark of Daniel's 70th week. That is the time exactly when the Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel, walk into the temple at Jerusalem, and sit on the throne of God. Broken covenant. Then he's going to say, kill the Jews. And they're going to scatter to Coela Petra. Now, here's what I want you to see. That has not yet taken place. And the temple has to be rebuilt in order for that prophecy to come true. And we know that all prophecy will come to pass. So, I can assure you, the temple at Jerusalem, the physical temple, will be rebuilt. But not until after you and I are out of here. You know why? Let me explain. 2,000 years ago, in the year AD 70, Titus, the Roman general, came. Nero sent him with all of the armies of Rome, and they destroyed everything in Jerusalem. 1.4 million Jews lost their lives in that attack. And what they did is they so devastated, they tore the walls down, they tore the temple down. The Bible says, as Jesus prophesied, there shall not be one stone left standing upon another. There wasn't. Since that time, for 2,000 years, there's been no physical temple for the Jews. Why? Put your thinking caps on, church. God does not want a temple there today. We're in the age of grace. We're in the church age. And the temple of God, ye are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And ye are the... Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God? You are the temple of God. So, we are spiritual temples. When the spiritual temples of God go out in rapture, the physical temple... Who is God dealing with during Daniel's 70th week? The time of Jacob's trouble. I wonder. That's clear. That's speaking about the Jews. He will be... Right now, the Jews are on a shelf. We all know that. Israel is in unbelief, and God's not happy with them. They have not received Messiah, though a few have. But as soon as the rapture hits, God begins to deal with Israel again. The prophetic time clock begins to tick, 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 tick again. It's been stagnant for 2,000 years. It's going to start ticking again. That means Daniel, 483 years of Daniel's 70-week prophecy have been fulfilled. There's only 7 years left to be fulfilled. And guess what? It's about to be fulfilled. The tribulation period is that final heptad, 7-year period. Glory to God. Now, I wonder what this is. I'll find out after. Glory to God. This temple has to be rebuilt for the abomination of desolation to take place, and the Lord is going to take vengeance for his temple. Glory to God. Okay, by way of review, we see another reason why Babylon must be destroyed in verse 24. Look at it. Isaiah 51, 24. God says, and I will render unto Babylon and unto all the inhabitants of Chaldea, that's Iraq, all their evil that they have done where? In Zion. Where's Zion, somebody? In Jerusalem. See, they've been doing bad things in Jerusalem that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. He's saying, I'm going to render vengeance unto Babylon in your sight. You're going to see it. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain. Glory to God. Now, it's for Zion's sake. That's the physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jews, that Jesus Christ is going to annihilate the headquarters of Antichrist. Now, here's what I wanted to get to. I told you, the armies are in Megiddo. Babylon is about to be annihilated. Why? Verse 11 says, "But because of the vengeance of his temple." He's taking vengeance on the Antichrist and his ugly bunch because of him going in the abomination of desolation. Now, here's what I want you to see. God says, "You defiled my temple. You defiled my house in my Jerusalem. Therefore, I am going to destroy yours." Did you see it? This is the reason why God is going to totally, irrevocably destroy Babylon. Because the Antichrist tried to destroy Jerusalem, God's city. Oh, it's so clear. Another reason why he's going to destroy Babylon is found in verse number 25 and 26. God speaking, "Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth." He said, you've destroyed basically the whole earth. "And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain." He's going to incinerate it. "And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations. But thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord." He said, your kingdom is never going to rise again, Antichrist. I'm going to destroy it, and it's never going to be raised up again. I'm going to raise up my kingdom over my people Israel for 1,000 years, and there's nothing you can do about it. Glory to God. Now observe what regenerate Israel will say. Verse 35. Notice what regenerate Israel will say. Verse 35. "The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say. And my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee." Who's he talking to? Who is God speaking to in verse 36? That's the remnant. That's regenerate Israel. That's when they receive their Messiah. They're saved. They're born again just like you and me. And he says, now I'm going to take vengeance for you. Now that you belong to me. Amen. And that this won't be till the end of the tribulation period. It's going to take 7 years of horrific judgment for Israel to come to her knees. The Jews are stubborn, but they will come to their knees and accept the Messiah. "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry." Glory to God. "Babylon shall become heaps, ruinous heaps, a dwelling place for dragons." Those are demons. "An astonishment and hissing without an inhabitant." No human beings will dwell in Babylon throughout the millennium. All right, the results of the Babylon's fall we find in verse 54. Look at the results. "A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon." Oh yeah, they'll be howling. "Great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans." Why? "Because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice. When her waves do roar like great waters, the noise of their voices uttered, because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken." Notice that. Every one of her soldiers are destroyed. "For the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains, her rulers, her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep. And not wake, saith who? The king, capital K. Who would that be? Yeah, it's the King of Kings. This is the King of Kings making his glorious appearance by stamping out with his feet the inhabitants of Babylon, whose name is the Lord of Hosts. That title for God, Lord of Hosts, it's a military title. Hosts is armies. He's the Lord of Hosts. He's the Lord of all armies. Thus saith the Lord of Hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her gates. I burn them with fire. Now, this is what the result of Babylon's fall. She's totally destroyed. Something amazing occurs in verse 62. God tells Jeremiah to make a copy of this Babylonian destruction prophecy. Write it on a scroll, he says. Tie some stones to it and cast it where? Into the Euphrates River. That very river that the Lord says, I will dry up for the armies of the king of Babylon to march to Megiddo. Right? He's going to dry it up during the tribulation period. They're going to march through it on dry ground. Guess what they're going to march right over?
Yeah.
This prophecy! They're going to walk right over it! Man, if they just pick it up and read, maybe they turn around and get smart. No, they're going to keep on marching. This is amazing to me. The Lord showed me this. Jeremiah, look at verse 62. Oh, thou shalt say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be a desolate forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book that we're reading, the prophecy of Jeremiah against Babylon, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Thus far the words of Jeremiah. Incredible! You've got to read between the lines in the Word of God. Amen? Because he has such nuggets for us, church. It is glorious. Alright, now, notice who is missing from Babylon when this massive destruction takes place. Chapter 50, verse 43. Quickly. Chapter 50, verse 43. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. What happened? Antichrist is getting a little nervous. He's beginning to shake in his boots. Verse 43. Anguish took hold of him. The him is Antichrist, king of Babylon. And pangs, as of a woman in travail. He heard about the destruction back in his hometown, Babylon. He's not there, folks. Somebody's telling him about it. He doesn't see it with his eyes. He hears about it with his ears. Go with me to chapter 51. Look at verse 31. One post. These are... chapter 51,
yeah,
and verse 31. Now, in these days, they used horseback. They called them posts. They'd run from one town to the next, bringing word of what's occurring. They didn't have CNN. Verse 31, one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another. Why? To show who?
The king of Babylon, Antichrist.
Yep, the Antichrist, that his city... What's his city? Babylon.
Yeah.
Babylon is taken at one end, and that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted.
I don't know about you, but I really love this.
They said, boss man, the boys are shaking. The boys are, they're frightened. The Lord's coming back. What are we going to do? I love it. He's not there. He's in Megiddo. These posts finally arrive at Megiddo and they tell word to Antichrist that Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. Glory to God. Now, his soldiers begin to fear. And now, he's in the Valley of Jezreel, Har-Mageddon, Megiddo. This is the first stage. Next, notice that just prior to this destruction, a warning goes out. To who? The Jews in Babylon. Before the destruction comes, God warns his people, come out of her before the destruction takes place. Another warning we have in chapter 51. Look at verse 50. Verse 50. Ye that have escaped the sword, that's the sword of the Antichrist, go away. He's saying, get out, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Don't you love how the Lord guides us and directs us? I love it. He gives us divine guidance, folks. When you don't know which way to turn, the Lord says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Let thine eyes look right on. ponder the path of thy feet. Amen? He's saying, go to Jerusalem. I'm going to save you over there. I'm going to destroy this place, Babylon, but I'm going to save you at Jerusalem. So, God instructs them where to go. Now, notice the connection of Israel's regeneration with the timing of Babylon's destruction in chapter 50. Don't miss this. Look in chapter 50 at verse 19. Verse 19, the portion of Jacob is not like them. The portion of Jacob, that's the Lord God of Israel. It's God. He is their portion. Amen? He's your portion, beloved. For he is the former of all things. I love it. Before anything was, God was. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. 20. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations. And with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Glory to God. The Lord says, I'm going to use my believing people along with my holy angels to destroy them all. It has to do with the regeneration. Notice he says they're my people. There in verse 20, number 20, be quiet. They've been regenerated at this point. They have accepted Messiah, and they mourn for him as for an only son. Glory to God. The regeneration is spoken of again. Go to chapter 31, Jeremiah, chapter 31. Don't miss this. It's a new covenant with Israel. Nothing to do with the covenant that we have, but look at it. In chapter 31 of Jeremiah, verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a what? A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. This has not yet taken place. I'm going to prove that to you. Verse 32, watch what he says carefully. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I wasn't husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Not the Gentiles. This has nothing to do with you. It's very important that you pay attention to the words in the Bible. Amen? If we just believe what God says, we'll be okay. After those days, saith the Lord. After what days? After what days? The church age. After the age of grace. Watch, something's going to happen. Something special. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their, Israel, inward parts and write it in their hearts. How's he going to do that? By his Holy Spirit. Just like he's written it in your heart. They'll be born again like you. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Right now, folks, Israel is not God's people. They're on a shelf. They are in unbelief. And when a Jew dies, he goes to hell. I hate to say it. None of this special redemption for Israel without accepting Jesus Christ is no such doctrine in the Bible. I know of a preacher. I don't want to mention his name because you'd know him. And he teaches that every Jew goes to heaven. That is nonsense.
But you know, that shows you, because it says in Matthew mm-hmm. that God put a veil over their hearts
right.
as well as their eyes. So when you pray for a Jew, you should pray for God to lift the veil from their
Bingo.
Eyes.
Bingo. She's absolutely correct. The blindness, in part, is happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And then, after those days, shall all Israel be saved. That means every living Jew that is alive when Jesus comes down at the end of the tribulation period, will accept him as Messiah. Recognize that they were wrong 2,000 years ago and they'll be born in a day. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Watch it. For they, who's the they? Who's the they? Israel. The physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jews. They shall, what's the next word? All. Every living Jew on planet Earth, he means. That's how I know this hasn't taken place yet. Because every single Jew is not saved today. But they will be. Shortly. For they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. This is a new covenant that he's going to make with who? Israel. With Israel. We are already in covenant with God.
I have one question.
We don't need this one. Yeah.
Now, will this go back to the to law?
Nope.
But before they get saved, are they in the law?
Yes. During the tribulation period, the Sabbath will come back into effect. All these Sabbath keepers today that say you're not saved if you don't keep Sabbath.
Yeah.
First of all, they're wrong. It's unbiblical. No Gentile has ever been under the Sabbath. The Sabbath was only for the Jews. But the Sabbath will be reinforced during the tribulation period. Why? Church age is done. The age of grace is over, and God is working with Israel again. They'll be under the law of Moses during the tribulation period, and they have to accept Messiah. They'll need both during the tribulation period. But this new covenant, they're going to be born again. Okay? They're going to receive the Spirit of God. They're going to know God. They're going to have a heart to love God. All right, quickly. Got to move. Go with me to Revelation chapter 18. We have another graphic, detailed prophecy of the destruction of Babylon in Revelation chapter 18. It's funny. For years, I thought that Revelation 18, the commercial Babylon was Rome.
Yeah.
You know, you hear these things and you catch on, but studying the scripture in prayer, the Lord shows you the truth. Babylon is not Rome. They're spelt different, as Doc Ruckman says. They're spelt different. Babylon is Babylon. Very important to understand that. Now look what he says here in Revelation chapter 18. The fall of Babylon is declared. Verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, what?
Babylon
the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Those are demons. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, that spiritual adultery, worshiping the beast. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. She controlled all world markets. This is the fall of Babylon. And notice the global political and global economic corruption. Warning is given to the Jews in verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of who? Babylon. Babylon. He's saying, get out of Dodge, quick. It's about to go under. You don't want to take part of her plagues. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Glory to God. He's going to destroy it, and he tells his people to get out. Look at the indictment against Babylon. Verse 6. Reward her even as she rewarded you, Israel, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. He said, God says she's going to get double what she dished out. Verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she, Babylon, saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Oh, really? Keep daydreaming. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. How many of you knows that God means one day, when he says one day? Death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. Fire from heaven's coming down, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, we read back in Jeremiah 50 and 51. This is a sister passage to Isaiah, to Jeremiah 50 and 51. Clearly, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Yeah, he's strong, all right. He's as strong as they come. And she's going to find that out. Look at the threefold indictment. First, because Babylon oppressed the Jews. Verse 6. Threefold indictment. Reward her even as she rewarded you, Israel. Double unto her according to her works. First of all, Babylon, under Antichrist's rule, totally demolished the Jews, totally destroyed Israel, killed As we know, some 10 million Jews are going to die during the tribulation period. That's a lot of blood, a lot of Jewish blood. Secondly, threefold indictment. One, because what she did to the Jews. Two, because Babylon vaunted itself against the God of Israel. Look at verse 7. How much she had glorified herself. She's not glorifying God. She's glorifying herself. Lived deliciously. She has said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow. I'll see no sorrow. Oh, really? She vaunted herself against the God of heaven, and now she'll pay the price. Thirdly, because Babylon's judge is strong. He's omnipotent. Verse 8, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. I'm so glad tonight, church, that our God is stronger than anything in the universe. I'm so glad tonight that nothing can challenge our God and succeed. Nothing can come against him and prosper. I am so glad of that because he's my God. Amen. He's watching over old Bob Oliver. Glory to God. Quickly, after Babylon's annihilation, there will be intense lamenting, worldwide lamenting, by three particular groups of people who had invested heavily in her, like the stock market, right? All these people putting all these money in the stock market. I got bad news for them. The Bible says the stock market's going to crash. Do you know that?
Yeah.
But you know what the Bible says to invest in? Think. What does the Bible say to invest in? Gold. Hurt not the gold. Do you know why gold's been skyrocketing? From 10 years ago, it was $243 an ounce. Today, almost $1,500 an ounce. You know why? God said, hurt not the gold. That means it will not deflate in value. Gold. That's for those of you who are going to be here during the tribulation period. I'm out of here. But listen, folks. After her annihilation, three particular groups of people are wailing and lamenting worldwide. First, the geopolitical rulers of the world. Look at verse 9. Revelation 18. Look at verse 9. And the kings of the earth. Who's that? President Obama. Yeah. World rulers. Putin. I was just going to say that, brother. Must have been the Holy Spirit there. Putin. Ahmadinejad. Oh, yeah. They're all, Assad. They're all going down. Morsi. Bye-bye. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall what? Bewail her. Notice there's a great wailing. And lament for her. When they shall see the smoke of her burning. Yeah, CNN's going to televise it via satellite worldwide. And the whole world, the Bible says, is going to mourn and weep for Babylon's destruction. Too bad. Secondly, not only the geopolitical rulers will lament, but secondly, the economic traders, merchants of the world will lament. Look at verse 11. 11. And the merchants of the earth shall what? Weep and mourn over her. Why? They're not making their money no more. They're not trading their goods in market no more. They're not bringing their ships in from all over the world and overcharging people with a false ephah, a false measuring weight. They're lamenting because their money is done. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones. Now he lists all these things that they dealt in, that they traded in. And look at the last thing, verse 13, cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil, fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. You see that? They're trading human beings. That's called sex traffic. That's called human trafficking. And it's wicked. Remember we read back there in Jeremiah 51? This is wickedness? Yeah. They're trading children. Okay, verse 15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. I love it. They're sorely disappointed. Thirdly, I see a third group of wailers and weepers, the transporters of merchandise of the world. Verse 17, for in 1 hour, so great. You know how long it took to take down the World Trade Centers? 1 hour. From the time the first plane hit, 1 hour, they were both on the ground. You know what that was? Folks, that was a, I don't say this lightly,
I love America. You know that. I'm patriotic. That was a prophetic foretaste of the destruction of Babylon. Remember what we just read about the destruction of Babylon? Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. Why did he say it twice? I believe John was seeing the World Trade Center come down. He goes, Babylon is fallen. World Trade Center?
Yeah.
It's what we're reading right here. Yeah. Now that wasn't this prophecy fulfilled, but it was a forerunner of that prophecy. 17. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? I'll tell you, Jerusalem. She can't compare to Jerusalem during the millennium. Jerusalem is going to be the joy of the whole earth. Glory to God. Now, while these three groups of people lament greatly on earth over this sudden destruction, there are three other groups of people who will be rejoicing in heaven. Look with me at verse 20. Don't miss this. Verse 19, they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich, all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. 20, rejoice over her. Now we got three groups rejoicing. In opposition to the three groups that were lamenting. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Woo! When she goes down, we're going to be shouting on streets of gold, dancing in the streets. Why? Because our God reigns. Amen? And he had taken vengeance on his enemies. Three groups will be rejoicing. Saints in heaven, verse 20. Apostles in heaven, verse 20. Prophets in heaven, verse 20. Finally, and I'll be done. See why this destruction is so complete. Verse 21. Why is it so complete and irrevocable? 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpists and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. Nothing. Silence. The birds. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride, no more wedding shall be at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations, what?
Deceived.
Notice the word sorceries in verse 23. How did they deceive the world? By demonic deception. They used sorcery, witchcraft, the occult. Things are going to be going on, folks, during the tribulation period you don't want to know about. Bad things. 24. And in her, here's why she's going down. In her, Babylon, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. God is taking vengeance for his people. Oh yes, they were beheading tribulation believers over there in Babylon. Antichrist was saying, off with the head. But now, they're getting their due. Finally, we see why this destruction is so complete. Because the Antichrist and his followers are sorcerers. I didn't make that up, folks. Verse 23 says it. They're sorcerers. In closing, let me give you this. To summarize our study of the second stage of the campaign of Armageddon. When the Antichrist moves his forces into the Valley of Jezreel, Armageddon, his enemies will use this opportunity to destroy his headquarters at Babylon. According to Isaiah 13, verse 3, these conquerors will be Gentile believers of the tribulation period with angelic assistance. But just prior to their attack, the Jews in Babylon will be warned to flee out of Babylon. This they will do and make their way to Jerusalem to report to their brethren who are holding the fort at Ground Zero. Now, there's something you need to understand as we study all these prophecies. Ground Zero is Jerusalem. Don't forget that. Everything during the tribulation period will revolve around that little
tiny piece of land called Jerusalem. You know what the Muslims want? These radical Islamist terrorists, they want Jerusalem. You know why they want all the Jews dead? So they can take Jerusalem. Why? Because it all revolves around Jerusalem. If they can take Jerusalem, they can prevent the King of Kings from setting up his kingdom in Jerusalem. Good luck, buddy. Good luck with that. Now, this sudden destruction of the world's political and economical capital will cause great consternation upon earth, but not in heaven. Amen? There's nothing but joy and peace up there, beloved, and we're going there. For when Babylon's destruction comes, it will signal that the national regeneration and restoration of Israel, followed by the glorious second coming of the King of Israel, will occur soon, and very soon. All right, we've seen the first stage of the second advent, the gathering of the armies of Antichrist in Megiddo. We've seen the second stage of the second advent, the destruction of Babylon. And next week we'll see the third stage of the second coming, and that is the fall of Jerusalem. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the incredible prophecies of your word. Lord, I can't get enough of your prophetic word. Because, Holy Spirit, you are focusing in the lens of prophecy. You are making it so crystal clear that we can see it in black and white, and some words in red, and understand. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that Jesus said you would be our instructor, our teacher, our comforter, our paraclete. We love you. We love you, and we thank you that we're on the winning side. Tonight, Lord, we've spoken of some horrific things that are going to take place. Lord, we don't wish this evil on anybody except the devil. But many, many human beings, in fact, billions will suffer these things because they repent not. Because they refuse the love of Jesus Christ, the offer of salvation by the gospel. Lord, we pray that you use this church in these last days, before it's too late, to bring as many lost souls to the Savior, that they might not suffer these horrible things when the time comes. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name, and the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals. We'll stand and close with a closing hymn. Turn with me to 235. I love this hymn. 235. And we'll sing the first and the fourth. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Amen. Glory to God. First and fourth. 235. Listen to the words, Granny Crosby.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Why on earth dost thou but falling? Do not pass me by. Spring of all my comfort, more than life to me.
Amen.
Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Do not pass.
God. Folks, I got good news tonight. Fanny Crosby can see 2020 in heaven. Amen. Father, how we thank you tonight for a wonderful day in your house. Lord, we're drawing ever closer to thee. In these last days, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're the Most High God. You're the Omnipotent One, the Holy One of Israel. And Lord, you're coming soon and very soon. We're so grateful tonight that we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. And Lord, I love that verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, around verse 11. Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit that he shall come to be admired in all them that believe. Lord, we admire you. We just stand in awe of you tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you are preparing us, making ready a people prepared for the Lord's coming. Oh, just like 2,000 years ago, Lord, you're doing it again by your Holy Spirit in our midst. We love you, Lord, and we pray you continue to bless the church. Let your will be done. Not ours, but thine be done. And Lord, we're so excited tonight because we know that it's all in your palm of your hand. We know that you've got great plans for us. Oh, Lord, thoughts of good to prosper us and give us an expected end, not to harm us. Ah, Lord, we're so thankful that we are your bride, madly and intimately in love with you. We're thankful for that. Bless us as we're dismissed, Lord, this week. Help us to be your faithful ambassadors to a lost and dying world. Father, I pray for Matt and Erica and that family they visited this afternoon and all those kids that came for the spaghetti feed. I pray many of them got saved. I'm amazed at how open the children are to the gospel. They're not poisoned by the deceitfulness of sin yet. Father, we pray for many more souls to come into the kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, for that good report that Carl, our treasurer, gave me tonight of how you're blessing this church already. Oh, yes, Lord, you're preparing us for glory. And, oh, Lord, I love how Val, she's brought so many items that you've provided through her for the church, for a children's ministry, Lord. And, Lord, it's just to think of the families that we'll be soon ministering to as you bring them in. Ah, Lord, we could go on all night just praising and thanking you. We're a grateful people tonight. But most of all, Lord, we're grateful that you're such a good God. We heard that this morning about some of your attributes. You've got great kindness. Great kindness. Abundant pardon. Merciful kindness, Lord. You're just so good and gracious to us. We love you, Lord. You've captured our hearts. And we're thankful that we know the truth. Bless us as we're dismissed, Lord. And again, use us this week to get the word out. Not so much to get people to come to our church, but to get people to come to our Savior. To come to you, Lord Jesus, that they might know the joyful sound that we know, salvation in Jesus Christ. Bless your holy name, for it is good. In Jesus' name, the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Anybody know what this might be? It appeared while I was preaching.
What?
Right here. Didn't come off of this. Didn't fall from the ceiling. Piece of plastic. I don't know what it's
plastic tab off of something.